Well, dads and granddads, I salute you. I'm with you in this thing called fatherhood. I love being a dad. I love being a granddad. It's been one of the great joys and privileges of my life. It is not for the faint of heart, but it is worth it. Now, some dads really, they make it look easy, and they make it look too easy at times, sort of like this dad in this video.
And it's taken away by the fan.
The baby is absolutely locked in on the bottle. The baby's not giving up the bottle at all. That is a heck of a play, though.
Great play by that young man with the young child.
Nothing to it, right? I mean, hold the kid, protect the kid, you know, one hand, the foul ball, have a seat, your wife looks at you with this adoring look. And some guys, they just make it look so easy. Is fatherhood easy? Well, as Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friend. But there is hope, there is help, there's encouragement. We encourage one another in this church, and we believe in God's help, because no one is cheering on your family more than the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a well-known passage of Scripture, Ephesians 6, verse 4, which says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." And you know, we don't want to do that, where you're just impossible to please. But instead, we bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And so the Bible lets us know that dads play such an important part. And we celebrate that. We thank our dads. And God's vision for your family is what theologians call covenant succession, where I pass along the faith to my children, and my children pass along the faith in a healthy way to their children. The danger, of course, is in presumption, just sort of assuming that because I believe, then by osmosis, it's passed along. And so, as fathers, we just say no to passivity, and we say yes to following Jesus and exalting him in our homes. And dads, godly masculinity, where you bring your masculinity home, but it is shaped and trained by the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It is shaped and trained by the sacred scriptures and by the power of the Holy Spirit. That can be a fantastic and a beautiful thing. Well, we want to encourage all dads today, and here are some thoughts from three of our elders. Let's get started, first of all, with Kim Brigham.
Well, if you ask me, how do you know your children love you? I would say they would tell you that I was always there, and I made it a point to be there. Fatherhood was a joy for me. My dad was always there, so I made it a point. Knowing what I know now, if I were to talk to myself back then, I'd probably say, you need to listen more. Trust your kids more. Because after all, you're the one who taught them, right? So trust them to do the right thing. You know, as I journeyed through fatherhood, one of the biggest surprises that I've come across is that, I'll use this old adage, the more things change, the more they stay the same. What has surprised me is that my son has had to deal with some of the same things I had to deal with, and I had to help him navigate through that. At times it wasn't easy for him because I could see myself in him. You're an athlete, you're full of testosterone, and someone thinks that if they do something wrong to you, you're gonna lash out. And so I had to teach him not to do that. It was hard at first, but he quickly learned why I was doing that. The Bible verse that gives me more comfort is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That, I think that kind of sums it up for not just me, but for every dad out there. And what do I enjoy most about being a dad? Well, that's real easy. Grandkids. No, not that's not it. But actually, it was watching my kids grow to manhood and to womanhood, helping them navigate through their successes and their failures. One of the things I found out about kids is that they, and it's probably all of us, we hate to fail. But through failing, we learn so much. So what I wanted my kids to do was always give maximum effort in whatever they did. I didn't want them to be afraid of failure, but I wanted them to be terrified of regret. And no one needs to live like that. And what important lessons did I learn from my dad? Well, my dad was, he was a man's man. So in his own words, think for yourself. Be your own man. If you're right, stand on it. Don't ever back down. And he made us live that way. And that's the way I was.
Thank you so very, very much, Kim Brigham. Such a good man, good dad, great elder in our church family here. Some of you are very, very familiar with Stephen Covey and his best-selling book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Covey said he used to do something as a father, though, and he did this practice virtually every day. It was just a good mental picture for him. He said, as a dad, it's important every evening to just readopt your children. And he said as he would drive home, he would mentally picture himself taking off his work hat and putting on his dad hat, mentally going through the process of resigning, you know, with all the responsibilities we have, as much as possible, to resign from those other tasks that I've been, you know, devoting myself to during the early part of the day. And then as a dad, when I have that chance to very, very intentionally to be there and to be with our children. In just a moment, I'll talk to you a little more about I Can Dads and that acrostic. But first of all, I want us to hear now from Curtis Duncan. And Curtis has some great things to say.
The biggest surprise of fatherhood for me was being in the delivery room. I knew at that moment there was a God. This is a miracle, and it's okay to love something more than yourself. I think as a parent, as a father, you have to be flexible. You know, my children, they're both different. I have two boys, Graham and Schaefer, and they're both different. One is an extrovert. One is an introvert. One likes peanut butter. The other one is allergic to peanut butter. One loves to win. And one hates to lose. And there's a difference. But what I learned most is that they're smarter than you think they are. But as a parent and as a father, I have to be flexible. There are two or three points I want to make for my boys, for them to carry on with them in their life. Number one, follow Jesus. Not only in word, but also in deed. Let the Spirit of God come out of you. Number two, I think it's always important to work hard. Work hard and pray, and pray without ceasing. I mean, sometimes we work hard, we don't think it's benefiting anyone, but pray about it. Don't ever get discouraged. You work hard and you stay focused and you stay positive and you move on. And number three, don't ever be afraid to do what's right. Don't ever be afraid to tell the truth. Don't ever compromise off your Christian values. And whatever you do, don't ever justify wrong. Wrong is wrong, period. We can't justify wrong, but we can always do what's right. And Jesus has our back. How do I become a better father? Well, first of all, you know, fatherhood is on-the-job training. It is what it is. I mean, There are very few books that can relate to my family. So fatherhood is on-the-job training. I would say in order to be a good father, you first got to be a good husband, because I think it's very important that your children see you in a relationship between you and your wife. I want my boys to know I love their mother. I also want them to know that their mother and I are one. I didn't become a father until I got to First Colony, until I was a member at First Colony. Ronnie talks about being in that village. I had a great village. First Colony was a great village for me because I had other members part of the church that were young fathers like myself. And then there were those members who had older children that we used as role models. So I was very fortunate. And I also think it's important, or believe that it's important, to hang around like-minded people. What lessons did I learn from my father? Well, my father grew up in Mississippi in the 40s and the 50s. A person who could have been bitter about the future wasn't. He was awesome. He was incredible. He was an old school dad. He loved me as much as I wanted to be loved, and he taught me the lessons I needed to know. My dad, he had a forgiving heart. I never saw him speak bad words about anybody, and he was the nicest guy. I mean, he was awesome. I mean, I love my dad, and, you know, so much so, my oldest son, Graham, is named after my dad. It's for that reason that I did that, because my dad was pretty incredible. He was incredible. He was just an old school dad who just loved his children. And I am so grateful my boys knew my dad, and my dad knew my boys. And I couldn't have had a better father. What's the hardest part about being a dad? Well, for me, that took place many years ago. I had to tell my children, the world we live in right now, some people would judge you by your appearance and not your character, and that's okay. You pray for them. Number two, it's tough as a father in our society today to let go. But I've had to do that and rely on God more. This is where my faith comes in. I love my boys. I don't want anything bad to happen to them. And I pray for them every night. That's important for me. In the world we live in, we have to pray for our children. You know, it's tough, and this is something I never want to experience, losing a child. Whether it's on a battlefield, whether it's by disease, whether it's on the streets of this country, no one wants to lose a child, and it's tough. That's where my faith comes in. I am so thankful. God has blessed us. Letting go, that's the toughest thing I've had to deal with. And pray that the people they come in contact see their character way beyond their appearance.
Thank you so very much, Curtis Duncan, for those wise, profound, and so apropos words of insight and encouragement. The National Center for Fathering talks about the I can mindset for dads. I can, the acrostic, I-C-A-N, I, involvement. C, consistency. A, awareness. We're not in la-la land. We're not naive. Involvement, consistency, awareness, and nurturing. And you know what? If you've been blessed by a dad or a granddad who's involved and aware and consistent and nurturing in your life, it's a great gift Make sure you say thank you. Billy Graham once said, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. I would say amen to that. Now, we've already heard from a couple of generations, and we've got one more generation to go, actually one more elder in our church. And now let's hear from Chad Baker.
It's such a blessing to be speaking to you, Daz, today. I look back on with such joy on the days that have come and gone, and I look forward with such anticipation with the days and the moments that are to come, the new phases of life, the next steps with our family. I feel like if you were to ask my children how much I love them, Abby and Allie and Clayton would say, I love them more than this much, because when they were little, that was big. But it wasn't so big to Cole, so I feel like what he would say is that I would love him more than a daddy T-Rex, because that's what he received, that's the way he communicated when he was little. And any time I was called to discipline them, there were two phrases that I would and still to this day use. One is, I don't like your behavior right now, but I love you just the same. Or, I love you too much to let you act this way. I love you too much. If I were called to tell my children two or three things before they were sent out into this world, I would look them in the eye and say, Abby and Cole and Allie and Clayton, you choose this day, you choose every day to love the Lord your God with everything you've got and to put Christ in front of everything else in your life. And if you don't make that intentional and purposeful choice, the world will choose for you. And it's not a choice that's going to go well for you in your life. Secondly, be prepared to stand alone. There are going to be plenty of opportunities for you to have the requirement to stand firm when the world's telling you to go different directions, when the flow of culture is leading you down the wrong path. Be prepared to stand firm when necessary. Learn to be comfortable being out of place in your own place. And finally, I'm going to be praying that the Spirit gives you the eyes to see people the way He sees them, the heart to feel the way they feel, and the ability to love them in a way that only Christ's love can just cover over the hurts and the damages to the hearts that so many people have through just walking through this world and not knowing truth. I love ocean scenery. And James 1:6 has always been a verse that I've come back to and I tend to anchor to. James is talking about asking for wisdom, and he says, let him ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Don't be driven and tossed by the wind. Who wants to be fluttering here one day and fluttering the next day as a father and not training and teaching and anchoring our children in truth? I feel like we're called to be lighthouses. We're called to have our light just constantly twirling around in the darkness and telling people where home is, telling people where solid ground is found. We don't always get this right. We just don't. And there are so many times that I have to ask my children for forgiveness. I've thrown an adult fit again, and I just have to say, hey, kids, I need a daddy do-over. That happens a lot, probably more than I'd care to admit. But there is something so human about asking your children for forgiveness. And it just helps them really know that there's no manual for this other than truth. This is our first time, most of us. And we're just trying to do the best we can to make the best choices for them in their lives. If I were to leave you dads with any other encouraging words, I would say this. Reject passivity. Don't just hear what this world has to tell you and believe that that's true. Don't believe that our children are just gonna get it. They're just gonna learn and they're gonna make their mistakes and they're gonna go and learn their lessons. You speak truth into their hearts. Don't sit by passively and allow the world to take them along a journey that's going to create scars on their little hearts. accept the responsibility that we have, that we've been given by the Lord. And candidly, we just need to be there. We just need to be present. There are so many times that I remember my father was just present. Anything that I loved, he loved. Anything that I was involved in, he was involved in. And that showed me love. And that's part of something he did so right. Another thing he did so right is he told me what he did well as a father. But he told me what he didn't do well as a father. And he would say, Chad, don't do these things because I wish I would have done these things differently. And so dads, just take that advice, take that wisdom, take what you know now you would have done differently and do it right this time. Do it, go forward without any regret as a parent. So you can look back on one day and you can say, I gave my kids and my wife everything I have. And now I can be at peace with my stage in life. Third, lead courageously. In a world where true is sometimes hard to ascertain if you're not listening to that one true voice, lead your children directly to what's true. Lead them directly back to our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, and most importantly, remember that you need to expect the greater reward. There's a greater end game. Christ has already won. And our main call as a parent, as a dad, is to send our kids directly back to Christ, to just directly focus everything they do back towards that truth, that anchor point. In Ephesians 3:20, Paul would say, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than what we could have ever asked or imagined according to his power that is at work within us. This is amazing. The Lord through us is able to do his work and speak to our children's hearts and to lead them directly back to Jesus. What an incredible call as a father. What an incredible blessing. And what a position of humility we have to just reflect even an ounce of the character and of the depth of love and mercy and grace that God our Father has for us. Dads, I would just say, let's be there. Let's be 100% there. Let's be fully present. Let's grab our little children's faces, whether they're 5 or 15 or 25 or 55, and just say, it is such an amazing blessing, and it has been my life's honor to be your daddy, to be your forever daddy. Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Fantastic. Chad, thank you so much. Also, Curtis and Kim, just very, very inspirational. Now, here's a passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians 16. As the Apostle Paul is winding down this letter, he gives some very short statements, staccato statements. And you will have heard this message in the three videos earlier. Let's read this passage together. Here we go. He says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. I think that's a dad's motto right there. Be on your guard. Don't be naive. Be alert to spiritual dangers. Know that there will be subtle forces trying to attack your family. So be on your guard. Stand firm in your faith. Like a tree with deep roots, keep feeding your own knowledge of the Word of God, what you believe and why. Be courageous, be strong, and do everything in love. Teach in love, redirect in love, coach in love, counsel in love, apologize in love. And if our kids, when they know we care, you know, they're with us. And, you know, no dad bats 1,000. My goodness, that's why we need a Savior. When our children, our families, when they know we care, we do everything in love, even apologize in love. That goes a long, long way. But what you see here is, and Chad said this, as men of God, we choose to reject passivity. We believe that a dad who loves the Lord in his home is a good, good gift. And guys, I salute you. I honor you. I respect you. I'm cheering you on. Never underestimate the influence of a good father. And dads, you are uniquely postured and uniquely qualified to speak into the lives of your children. And no, your child may not grow up to change the world, but they may change their workplace, they may change their neighborhood, they may change their own family for good. As you breathe forth grace and truth, not compromise, grace and truth into their lives. Here's another passage, Psalm 103. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, and he remembers that we are dust. Dads, you know how you have compassion on your children. That's how the Lord feels about you. Jesus called God Father over 200 times. It's the most popular term in Scripture for God, and that's his heart for you. Now, one more statement. You'll see it here on the screen. The essential is invisible to the eye. Now, that's not a quote from Scripture. It's a quote from Mr. Rogers, who actually has been really popular the last couple of years. You know, a couple of movies about him. The essential is invisible to the eye. That's a little phrase from the book, The Little Prince. And Fred Rogers kept that quote in his office. And he just said, pay attention to people. Because what's essential about them is not something you can just observe from a distance. What's essential about me is not the color of my skin or the color of my eyes. What's essential about me is my character, my soul, my heart. And as a dad, I'm encouraging you to, in a fresh way, pay attention to your children, to those things that are not so obvious, and then also be intentional about building within them those invisible but yet such vital qualities, the big three. Martha and I pray over these almost every night. We pray for you as a church family to grow in these big three. What are they? Faith, hope, and love. So, dads, I salute you in your ministry. I hope the journey will be rewarding. And my prayer for you is the statement from the Old Testament book of Malachi. I hope that the hearts of your children will be turned to you, and that your heart will be turned to them. Now, before we conclude today, Rocky Hudson, one of our elders, is going to come up here. He's going to lead all of us in a special prayer over our families, over our dads, over our nation. Just remember, we love you. We care for you. We're praying for you. All God's very best to you, and happy Father's Day.